You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
How many of you are familiar with the children's song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above, He is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? And then it goes, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then be careful, little mouth, what you say. And then be careful, little hands, what you do. And be careful, little feet, where you go. And it's a simple truth, a simple warning that we want to caution young children to think about the things that they see and the things that they hear and the things that they say and the things that they do and the places that they go. This is the idea that Proverbs wants to conclude us, or that we're going to conclude talking in Proverbs about the concept of words. The idea of words at their best, to being careful with our words. And when words, when we set the precedent, when we set the bar for what our speech, what our words, the way that we communicate, when we want to set it to the precedent that God has for us, it's a high, high standard, but it's a good one. And we're going to be all over the place in Proverbs. So go ahead and grab your Bible. You can flip there to Proverbs, and we're going to bounce around quite a bit. While you're heading to Proverbs, if you also want to flip over to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus taught very specifically about the importance of words, our speech, what it is that we say, the way in which we communicate with other people being of an incredibly high value. Because in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said this. He said, the good person. And I hope we would all say, if we looked at Jesus, we said, that's who I want to be. That's the person that I want Jesus to look at me and say, the good person, right? The good person, out of the good treasured in his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. And here's what he says. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. What you treasure in your heart comes out of your mouth. And this is why our speech is so important. It's so precious. It's so valuable. Words at their best. Today we're not going to be looking at just good words or good speech. We're going to be looking at the best way to speak according to Proverbs. The best way that we can communicate, the best way that we can exhibit what we believe and who we are as God's people, redeemed by His grace, living under wisdom. Remember we said the definition that we have for wisdom is the skillful living of life. Not just the living of life, but the skillful living of life according to God's reality. And Proverbs is going to teach us the standard for words at their best, and the making of such words. How do we become people who, this is the way that our speech, that our tongue, the way that we communicate, how do we get to that place? So the standard and the making of such words. So first, the standard of these best, when words are at their best. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 13. Says this. It says, righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. The first premise of words at their best, the first standard of words at their best, is that they will be honest. They will be honest words. 16:13 again is the righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. Now this is practically talking about a human king, like a David or a Solomon, and they love wise, honest counsel. It's a delight to them. But we can apply this straight to God as well and say, God as our king, he delights, he loves honest, truthful words. The vernacular of Satan, the lingo of Satan, the tongue of Satan is that of lies. And when our words are not honest, we are mirroring Satan. And so we dishonor the king. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. So 24, verse 26 says, "Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips." Now, Proverbs kind of gets weird on some things like that, but it's this idea that, in Europe, you know, the whole like walking up and giving a handshake, you see two guys come up and on either side of the cheeks, and the you know, for us as Americans, we're kind of like, yeah, that's kind of strange, right? And we pick at it at movies. That was totally normal, right, in their day. Absolutely normal. And so it's this idea of saying that an honest answer is just like that. It's like a kiss. There's something that's sweet about it. And directly, the word honest that's used there, the honest answer is very literally straight. It's a straightforward answer. It's not one with fluff. It's just direct and to the point. And there's something that is beautiful about it. There's something that is wonderful about an honest, truthful, straightforward answer. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And now you're going like, wait a second. If they're my friend, why are they wounding you? Because they love you. They love you enough to tell you, that's a dumb idea. You shouldn't do that. This is a terrible relationship. You should not be going forward with this. That is a bad financial decision. Don't make it. Right? There are all those things that in our individualistic culture, we say, you know what, it's none of your business. But in a biblical culture where we are created for community, where we are created to be united with the body of Christ, with other believers, we absolutely ought to be loving each other in this way with honest answers. Because the world's going to look at us and they're going to tell us, yeah, do what feels good. Do what makes sense to you. You do you. Right? Honesty is the best policy. It's the greatest mark of our speech. Truth and honesty. Now some might say, as I say that, if I say that honesty is the best mark of speech, some people might go, well, I would think that, you know, words being loving, that would be the most, the highest mark of good and sound speech. But they are only loving if they are honest, right? You can say things that sound loving and end up being the profuse kisses of an enemy. Words at their greatest have their greatest impact when they are not manipulative or just simply out and out false, but rather truthful, whole, and in line with God's word. This honesty that is there. Again, as we think about what it means to skillfully live life according to God's reality, the most powerful words that are often spoken to you are words that are honest and loving. And it's important that those things be true and right and together. Ephesians 4:15 teaches on this idea in the way in which we are to grow up into every way into Him who is Christ. So the model for us as Christians is to be Christ-like and to grow into people who are daily becoming more and more like Jesus. This is what Ephesians 4:15 says. That as we grow in every way into Him who is in Christ, we do this by speaking the truth in love. That it is honest words. Honest words ought to be loving words. But we've begun to see a reaction within many Christians today to this idea of honest or loving. And it's like a pendulum that swings from one side to the other, and it becomes diametrically opposed to each other. They push against each other. And they tend to be, they're groups of pockets of Christians that either want to be honest, and I'll use that in air quotes, honest, or loving. Well, I'm sorry to say, but the Bible says homosexuality is a sin. Yes, that's an honest statement. But it also says that pornography, sex before marriage, and a whole long other list of sexual sins are sin as well. So being honest doesn't really get to the heart of this. I tend to cringe whenever I hear somebody begin a statement with, well, I'm sorry to say, but. And you're just like, all right, here we go. Because I know that there's going to be nuggets of truth in it that are going to be lost in the fact that you don't really care. You don't care. And the world knows that, right? One of the things they say often about ministry is that they say, people need to know that you care before they care what you know. But those on the loving response side may say something like this: there's nothing wrong with you. God loves you just the way you are, and so do I. And that sounds so good, doesn't it? Except for the fact that, friends, that's not honest. And here's how this is not honest. There are things about you and a lot of things about me that God hates. He hates. Not dislikes. Not is uncomfortable by those things. There are things about me that God looks at and hates. How do I know that He hates them? He hates them so much that He was willing to send His Son to be slaughtered on a cross because that was the penalty that was due the things that God hates about me. That was the penalty that was due my sin. And He exhibited just how much He despised those things by substituting Jesus for me on those things. Rather than just simply looking at me and saying, poof, you're a pile of dust on the ground. We can say things that sound so loving, but they're actually not. Again, there's some illustrations that I use that I feel like I just dig them into the ground, but they're just so true, right? None of us wants to go to see a doctor when we think we might have cancer, and the doctor look at us and say, man, if I tell them they have cancer, it's really going to ruin their day, right? That's not what any of us want. You know, where the doctor's just kind of like, yeah, take a Tylenol and you'll be fine. I love you, right? That's not what we want. We want somebody to say, unless you change some things really quickly, we need to take action fast, you're in danger, right? It's just not honest to act in that kind of a loving way, to not warn people of honest truth, right? And we make fun of this even in movies and things like that. When the person comes out and they're wearing the goofy hat or the coat and they say, does this make me look bad? And people are kind of like, yeah, you know. Just be honest and say, yeah, that looks terrible. Right? Like, just be honest with it. Someone once said that if they had 60 minutes to share the gospel with someone, they take the first 50 minutes to explain judgment. And then the last 10 to share the salvation that Jesus brings. Because without the judgment, salvation doesn't seem very magnificent, right? It doesn't seem very magnificent. If there's a giant asteroid hurtling towards Earth and the U.S. government, NASA, finds out about it and they know that this is coming and they begin to develop this elaborate plan to send a rocket piled up with nuclear warheads to go blow this thing up, and then they blow the thing up and then all of a sudden they break into the news conference and they tell everybody, hey, we just saved all your lives. We blew up the asteroid and you're all safe. You can thank us later. And everybody's going, there was an asteroid? I had no idea. Cool, thanks for doing that. Don't raise my taxes, right? But if it began with this breaking in, NASA has just announced that there is an asteroid heading towards Earth and there's a 95% chance that we won't be able to stop it. And everybody goes, ah, right? And then all of a sudden this crack crew, you know, develops this special rocket and they land on the thing, they blow it up. It sounds like a couple of movies we've seen, right? And then they announce it, and there's celebration and there's joy because now everybody who thought they were dead has seen their salvation. If we're not honest, if words are not honest, they're not at their best. This truth of the gospel, the gospel is offensive. It just is. Here's how we are loving when we share the gospel. The gospel is offensive. Our job is to not be offensive on top of it. Okay? Like, it's okay to tell people that they're sinners. It's not okay to tell people that they're like a sinner worse than you. I don't hate people because they sin less than me or sin different than me. I just want to point them to Jesus because they're dying of the same disease that I was dying from, and I met the Savior. And He came and He rescued me. He substituted His life for mine. That's honest words. Remember, loving words are always, always honest. The second thing that Proverbs is going to teach is not only are words at their best going to be honest, they're going to be few. They're going to be few. This point is made with irony in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. And this is what it says. I love this. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who kind of reworded this in his own way. And said, it's better to be thought a fool by some than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Even a fool may pass for somebody who's wise if he says nothing. If you don't just say, don't blurt yourself out. How many of you guys know who Leonard Nimoy is? Spock, right? He's dead now. And he played this alien on the TV show Star Trek. And it's a shame that I have to actually explain that because people don't know that anymore. But he was a scientist on the show. And he described in one of his memoirs that he would go to these Star Trek conventions and these like astrophysicists would come and talk to him. And they'd be so excited sharing about the research and development and all the stuff that they were doing. And he's an actor. And so he would then begin to portray the persona of Spock. And he would stroke his chin and saying, that is some compelling information. Keep up the good work. They had no idea what they were talking about, right? But he didn't jump into it and be like, oh, well, I think if you train, you know, like this, you know, pretending like you know what you're talking about. I remember when I first learned this in the idea of, like, the wisdom of words being few. When Shell and I first got married, I worked at a hardware store, a True Value hardware store, and I was that guy that annoys people in the hardware store and walks up to them and says, I know I've already asked you 3 times, but do you need any help? Right? No. Right? And there was a whole bunch of things that this hardware store sold that I had absolutely no idea in the world how they worked. Right? But I was supposed to, right? And so now I'm the guy that walks in, you know, to the hardware store, and I hear somebody asking questions, looking at things, and then I just assume the role of being the guy that works there because I actually know what I'm talking about. But back then, man, I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I'm like, yeah, this blue flame fire thing is a whole lot better than this yellow flame fire thing. You know, that works good there. Did you buy that? Right? Tell them I sold it to you. I had no clue. But Proverbs also has, to the flip side of this, that words being few can be to our best interest. Or that we should watch the quantity of things that we say. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, said, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The idea is that a wise person does not say everything that they think. Right? They don't just have vomit of the Facebook. I think it and therefore it must come out of my mouth. The wise person says, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say that. There are just some things that should just stay inside your head. And in relation to God, when words run away with a man, they run him into folly or foolishness and arrogance. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says that when words are many, sin or transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips, like pulling back on the reins of a horse, he is wise. Think about it this way. If you lied to someone, be it your parent or a spouse or a friend, and they confront you about it, you'll end up using a whole lot more words trying to worm your way out of the conflict, right? No, really, I didn't do it. I mean, I can't believe that you would accuse me of, there's no way, how would you do this, right? Versus, yes, I lied, I'm sorry. Yes, I lied, I'm sorry. Five words. Words at their best are when they are few, because wisdom doesn't have to be berated or complicated. It's just simple truth. The idea that our words are few means that we're not just filling up the air. We're speaking what needs to be spoken. And then we're leaving it at that. Not only are words intended to be honest and few, but third, words at their best are calm. They're calm. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Why is it that the Proverbs tell us that someone who has a cool spirit, not just like cool man, but a calm, collect spirit, is someone with understanding? Three reasons can be found for the praise of this calmness. First, it allows time for a fair hearing, to actually hear the whole thing. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right." And we've all had that, right? There's a conflict between two people, and somebody comes up and they says, "Well, this is what happened, this is what they said." And you're like, "Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, no, that sounds right." But the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Then the truth comes out. Yeah, but you know, parents, you know this. The siblings come and they're like, "They did this to me and they said this." And the other one says, "Yeah, I did that because they were poking me with a stick." Right? And you're like, "Oh, yeah." All right, you're both getting punished. We did have that blanket thing where there was like, you know, when you have one kid, it's kind of easy because you know who did it, right? They don't got anybody else to blame it on. When you get two, you get to be a detective. And so you say, "All right, we're going to figure this out. And if we don't figure this out, or somebody doesn't confess, everybody gets it," right? Everybody loses snack time. Everybody goes to bed early, whatever it is. That's not fair. And what's the answer? Fairness ended in the garden. There ain't been nothing fair since the Garden of Eden. So, first, the man of a cool spirit is a man of understanding because they allow time for a hearing, a fair hearing. Second, it allows tempers to cool. It allows tempers to cool. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Try this in the next argument you have with your spouse, guys. Look at her and say, "Calm down!" Ladies, is that going to work? No. You're asking them to do the exact opposite of what you're doing. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. So the person of a cool spirit has understanding because they know what? You know what? I need to let this simmer down. I'm going to say something I regret. I'm going to use more words than I ought to, right? And then third, the cool spirit, the calm attitude, that disposition that just doesn't blow up, its influence is powerful. That's why in chapter 25, verse 15, the proverb writer there says, "A soft tongue breaks the bone." A soft tongue breaks the bone. Words at their best are honest, they're few, they're calm, and lastly, they are precise and timely. They're precise and timely. When someone says something honest, fitting, calm, and precise to you, you tend to remember it. A truth that makes no impression as a generalization, I'm just making a general statement, may be permanently fixed in your mind when it is matched to the situation in which it's being spoken into. You'll remember that moment where you were struggling and somebody came to you with an apt word, a precise word, something that was fitting for the moment. And they spoke it honestly, lovingly, calmly, truthfully, patiently with you in that moment. And they critiqued it to what you were, the way in which you were feeling, the emotions that you had going on, they were apt and precise with it. There's a craftsmanship to truths like this for both the giver and the receiver. This is not somebody that you just, this is not one of those words that you stumble into and you just kind of like, well, you know, yeah, it happens to the best. This is not one of those platitudes that's fickle and trite and just, you know, this is not the statement that says, well, I guess heaven needed another set of wings. Don't ever say that. Please don't ever say that. It doesn't help. And it's not precise. Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man. In other words, in that moment when you are the one giving that wise answer, when the Holy Spirit's leading you in truth and you are able to say the words that help, it's a joy to you. And a word in season, it says, how good it is. So both for the giver and the receiver. The receiver, I can remember in those trying times where people of wisdom came to me and said what I needed to hear in that moment. And it had power. Because it wasn't fickle, it wasn't trite, it wasn't surface level kind of nonsense. It was surgical to what I needed it to be. And that's words at their best. Now the question is, Proverbs describes in multiple places the beauty of these kind of wise words. That they're spoken when they need to be spoken. And the words like this, they're precise and they're timely. So how is it, this is the question, how is it that we get to the place where that's the kind of speech that we have? Where we're the kind of people that have honest, timely, precise words. Proverbs teaches us two things, that these kind of words come both as learned and as inherited by study and by character. Proverbs 15:28 says, the mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. When someone asks you something that you don't know, like, is the heater thing that makes the blue flame or the yellow flame, which one's better? It's okay to say, I don't know. When someone asks you something spiritual, something that's hard, something that presses against, why did this happen? Why does God like this? What do you think about this? If you don't know, it is okay to say, I don't know. Don't just make it up. It's okay to say, I don't know. But it's also not okay to stay not knowing. It's not okay to stay not knowing. Don't be content to stay in the place where I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Press in. Seek the answers. Grow in truth. Study. Learn. Seek out someone to disciple you. Walk in those truths. The mind of a righteous person ponders how to answer. They want to know the questions. They want to know the answers to the questions. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? So when somebody asks you a question, you go, I don't know. I don't know. When they ask you something about God, they ask you something about Jesus, they ask you something about the Bible, they ask you something about the character of God, like why does God allow bad things to happen in the world? And those kind of things. If your answer is to say, I don't know, then that should be a clue that that's one of those things you don't know, so go find out. It's not that those questions are unknowable. You can find people that want to walk with you in those things and grow you in those things and disciple you and shape you and help you through those things, because some of those questions are things you may be wrestling with yourself. So wise words, the words at their best, come through study. But secondly, they come through character. They come through character. Proverbs insists that what a man says wells up from who he is. Proverbs is hard and fast on that truth. What you say reflects who you are. This is why early in Proverbs, in chapter 4, verse 23, the teacher instructing the young student said, keep your heart with all vigilance. Watch your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. And it's only a step from that that we come to our Lord's command, our Lord's teaching, that we already read, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a trite little song that we teach little kids, right? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. I mean, there's no even originality to it. It's just, and then the chorus is the exact same in all of it. But why is it that that is so profoundly true? Because what you see shapes what you meditate on, what you believe in, what you worry about, what you value, the way that you view the world around you. Why is it that it says, be careful, little ears, what you hear? Because the truth that goes into your ear and goes into your brain and settles in and actually changes the structure of your brain to create memories also shapes belief. And so we ought to be careful what it is that we listen to. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Because Proverbs has taught us that death and life are in the power of the lips. You want a relationship to live? Speak life into it. You want the relationship to die? Use your words to kill it. Life and death are in the power of the lips. Words matter. That's what we've been learning these last three Sundays. Pounding it in. Words matter. Let's take what we say seriously. Let's be the kind of people who love wisdom enough to listen to it, study it, learn it, examine our hearts according to it, desire to live skillfully in the life, in the world, in the reality that God has made, and then let what we speak, let what we speak reflect the beauty of God's wisdom in our words. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you so much for your word that you have given to us. And this morning, God, we need to realize that we have said a lot of things that we should not have said. This morning, we want to come to you, God, in confession. Realizing that one day, God, every word spoken out of our mouth will be judged according to your standard. Everything said in anger, everything said in malice, everything said in envy, everything said in bitterness, and then also everything said in truth and in love and in righteousness and in hopefulness. God, let us be a people who are careful with our lips. The things that we say to people, the things that we say on social media, the things that we say in text messages to people, the way that we communicate who we are in you as we live this life that you have purchased for us by Jesus. Help us to be little children who are careful with what we say. We love you, God. It's your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.